Attempt blocked by McNabb. To the right circle, a try. Kick, save Hill. Rebound, another try, save Hill. A third try, save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bois boots it ahead, sticks it left. Barbashev in, back to the right, a shot. Score! Marchessault, 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Wednesday. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into last night's game, a 5-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Vegas Golden Knights, just 14 games remain, 3 points up on the Minnesota Wild with a game in hand on the second wild card spot. But it does feel a lot more precarious today than it did yesterday for the Vegas Golden Knights in their chase to make the playoffs and defend their Stanley Cup championship. We'll bring in Chris Chapman. We'll also hear from Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media today after a highly optional skate for the Vegas Golden Knights after that loss last night. And we'll also get into one-timers, some news, I guess, on the Arizona Coyotes. There's really not much news to report on the Arizona Coyotes outside of the fact that they are looking more and more like they're going to play next season, 2024-25, in Arizona. So everybody that's got an idea or a thought on relocation, that may have to wait for just another year. So we bring in Chris Chapman right now. Let's dig in a little bit to the game. I want to do game ratings, Chapman, before we hear from Bruce Cassidy. Because last night, Cassidy liked what he saw for the most part from the Golden Knights. Obviously, there are some areas where Vegas can clean up their game, specifically the power play, specifically getting a save, right? Like, we chopped it up a bit there with Darren Millard. Darren, very clear, it comes down to power play bleeding momentum, and it comes down to you need a couple of saves there in the third period to get you at least a point, maybe more, out of that game. Because, you know, on the whole, I do believe the Golden Knights played well enough to win, but you can't really rest on that when you've only got 14 games remaining and you are not a lock just yet to make the playoffs. So, Chapman, where are you at on last night's game?
Well, I'm going to push back and say I don't think they played well enough to win, because you have to look at the mistakes and factor that into them not playing well enough to win. Mm-hmm. You give up, first of all, you're winning the game 1-0, and then you have a couple of opportunities to maybe extend that lead. You go on the power play, you inexcusably give up a 2-on-0 shorthanded opportunity. That's not on Aiden Hill, that's on the guys who are on the ice.
Yeah.
Then you give up another goal to Anthony Duclair. It was a great play by Duclair to get that goal, but I'm not sure I qualify that as a mistake. It was just a good play by Tampa to put the puck in the net.
I mean, okay, on the second goal, what you're hoping for is that Aiden makes the initial save and he holds on to it.
That's a fair
the rebound puts the chaos in motion.
Then you have the third goal, which proved to be the game-winning goal. I thought Steve Stamkos sold the hell out of that trip.
Oh, no. That was not the game-winning goal, Chapman.
Oh, no, you're right. That was the go-ahead goal.
Yep.
I thought that was a bad call by the ref. I didn't think it was a trip.
I'd agree.
But nonetheless, you gave up the power play goal. Trip or not.
That's tough, too, because their penalty kill was phenomenal last night.
Yeah, like but Tampa's power play is one of the best in the league.
But it didn't, like, their power play did not have much flow. If you really look at the way that that goal was scored, it's a broken play that goes right to Braden Point in a great spot. But, yes, again, Aiden Hill, puck hits him, right?
Yeah,
like, you're in that spot, puck hits you,
puck.
You've got to find a way to make that save.
Yeah, so I didn't like the penalty call. I thought it was a bad call. But I would think that I want to prove that it wasn't the right call. I don't want to lose the game because of that. And they didn't lose because of that, but they gave up a goal there.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fourth goal that Tampa scored.
Yep.
I have no idea how that happened.
Aiden Hill thought it was going to be icing.
It should have been icing. I think we all kind of thought it was going to be icing.
You had both Nick Hague and Noah Hanifin close enough to the puck that they could have won that race. They could have gotten to the puck and negated the play with an icing.
Yeah,
and, but they didn't get there.
They didn't. And
so the mistake's not just there on Aiden Hill. Obviously, the mistake is there because you've got two defensemen that you're trying to and hoping that close on that puck. They don't do it, and Aiden's caught in the middle of thinking that his defensemen are going to get to that play and blow it dead, and you're going to have an offensive zone face-off. It doesn't happen. Braden Point sneaks in, and it's just a heady play from Nikita Kucherov. The thing about Kucherov that, like, I leave last night's game more in awe of is everything that he does is masterful because it creates so much chaos for everybody else around him.
Well, my takeaway from the Kucherov thing is I didn't realize how fast he was. Like, mm-hmm. like the empty net goal, and I saw people criticizing Shea Theodore. Mm. Like, I'm sorry, give credit to Kucherov. The guy made a play. It wasn't a lack of effort by Shea.
Nikita Kucherov. And I talked a little bit to Dan Duva after the game, and you know, obviously you mentioned Dan and his roots with the Syracuse Crunch and, you know, his understanding of Nikita Kucherov, the player, the person, all of that. There is a confidence that Kucherov has in his abilities. And you give him an opportunity to end a game, he's going to end the game.
Yeah,
he's just going to do it.
I think
and
that's
it's,
fair.
And it's not just that breakneck breakaway speed. Like, he is not Connor McDavid. He is not Nathan MacKinnon when it comes to blowing by guys with his foot speed. But you give him a 50-50 puck to ice a game, to win a game, to win a championship, he's going to win it every time.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to include that because it's an empty net goal. I didn't think they were going to win the challenge. I thought it was like a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't even know the rule in regards to that, because if there was a high stick, it would have been in the defensive zone, and I don't quite know what the rules in regards to that are anyway. But when two of the four goals that you gave up last night came on mistakes, mm-hmm. I can't say that the team played well enough to win, because you have to include those mistakes
okay,
in the way the team played.
But the counter argument that I would make is you're never ever going to play a perfect game. There's always
okay,
going to be mistakes.
That's fair.
And
but you
the
can't
only
give
reason
up, you can't give up a 2-1-0 shorthanded opportunity.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying the counter argument that I would have is simply this: hockey is a game of mistakes. Every single game that you play, you're going to have these types of mistakes. The unfortunate thing for the Golden Knights is every single time they made a mistake, it ended up in the back of their net. And you can argue whether or not that's because of the goaltending, whether or not that's defensive breakdowns, whatever it might be. It felt like every mistake Vegas made was in the back of their net. They're fishing the puck out. And it wasn't that way on the other side, because the Golden Knights did a lot of really good things offensively. I thought their forecheck really went to work. They did a lot of really good things, recycling pucks, getting to the front of the net. Andrei Vasilevskiy was not good last night. He did not have a Vasilevskiy-type performance in which he steals 2 points for the Tampa Bay Lightning. It wasn't that. I think the Golden Knights did a lot of good five-on-five in how they approached the game. It's just unfortunate that every mistake they made ended up in the back of their net.
Well, I think the fact that you point out that Vasilevskiy wasn't very good, that should be more that alone makes me more angry, because mm-hmm. he wasn't good, and they really didn't make him do anything spectacular to try to win that game for Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the Brett Howden goal. I liked the play by Kolesar. I mean, granted, Tampa just gave it to him, and you know, but nonetheless, I liked the fact that Brett Howden, he had William Carrier coming down the right side, and instead of trying to make that extra pass, mm-hmm. Brett Howden just said, you know what, I'm putting it in the back of the net, and he did.
Shoot the puck.
I want to see more of that. I'm tired of watching the power play and extra passes and guys getting the puck in a good shooting lane or a good spot to shoot the puck, and instead they'll skate in a little more to try to get a better look. No, you have to start putting the puck in the net. I'm tired, Ryan. I'm tired of hearing.
You're fired up is what you are.
I am, because we have 14 games left.
Uh-huh.
At this point, points are more important than process.
You
have to stop trying to find your game. You have to start winning games.
You don't have to stop finding your game. You have to find your game, Chapman.
Okay.
Like, the process has to be there in order to win. You can win games because Logan Thompson or Aiden Hill stands on their head and you get caved in for 60 minutes, but you're able to get a goalie win. I don't want to win that way. Like, I'll take the results all day long. I'll take the results all day long, but to some degree, you have to be playing the right way. The process has to be there. My question, the larger question that I'm going to throw to you is this. If they play tomorrow against Seattle, like they played last night against Tampa Bay, do you think they have a better than average chance of winning?
I would say they have a 50-50 chance to win that game.
50-50.
Because Seattle...
If they forecheck the way that they did against Tampa, if they were as good in the neutral zone as they were against Tampa, if they really did defend on the whole as well as they did against Tampa, you think that it's a 50-50 chance that they beat Seattle?
You know, let me take that back.
You got to look at this objectively, buddy.
I think they have a better chance because Tampa's a better team than Seattle. So I think they should beat Seattle playing the same way. But, I mean, I just can't overlook the mistakes and the lack of urgency.
There's always going to be mistakes. But I will cede lack of urgency, and I don't even know if it's lack of urgency. I just think that it wasn't as urgent as we wanted it to be, right? Like, you come off of that win against the New Jersey Devils. Everything's clicking. It looks like it's moving in the right direction. It looks like the Golden Knights have found their identity piece again. You just wanted that continuation. And to be fair,
to some degree, they got it at the start.
To be fair, the first period, they got it.
Yeah.
Again, two mistakes, Chapman. It's two mistakes in the first period. The Golden Knights had the better chances offensively. The Golden Knights took care of the middle of the ice better than Tampa did, and yet they go to the intermission down a goal.
Well, and I think part of that is, you know, you mentioned you don't want the team to get caved in and have to have Aiden Hill or Logan Thompson steal you a game. I'm 100% confident right now when I say this. I don't know if Logan Thompson or Aiden Hill could steal you a game right now.
Which is why the process has to be good. Which is why, even though no one wants to hear it, and I fully recognize it, I understand it, you have to pull the silver linings that you had last night. You have to look at how the Golden Knights played for a majority of the game against Tampa Bay. I think if you throw out the mistakes, and again, I recognize you can't do that, but if you throw out the mistakes, if you throw out the pockets where things went sideways on the Golden Knights, they were the better team than Tampa.
Well, I think
they were 5-on-5, better team.
I think you and I can come to an agreement here and maybe agree here that the mistakes are going to be there. You cannot allow the mistakes to end up in the back of the net.
Which is why you need your power play to dial it in and not bleed momentum, and which is why you need more saves.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the power play last night, and I know they didn't have a ton of opportunities. I thought the second power play was worse than the first one, despite the fact that they gave up that 2-on-0.
I'd agree with that.
Shorthanded opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, there were six, I counted it because there was a stoppage, so I didn't really count it. I looked at the clock, but... For 62 seconds, they couldn't even get the puck through the neutral zone. It was painful to watch for 62 seconds. And then finally, they got the faceoff after the stoppage. They were able to get some possession in the offensive zone. I think they got one shot off, but it really wasn't a great look. And I understand you've got some changes that had to be made because Alex Pietrangelo missed last night's game, but the power play has to be better. And it's, I know we've been banging this drum but
what's better to you?
They have to start scoring, but
I don't even think it's that.
You're right. Because scoring would be a massive boost. They have to go out there and look fluid. Like, I watch a team and granted personnel matters, but the Golden Knights aren't short on personnel.
They're really not.
So when I watch a team like the Rangers on the power play, they are like a fine Swiss watch when you watch that team on the power play. They've got Zibanejad, who's got his spot on the ice. They've got a guy like Kreider who can just make it happen. Even the Tampa power play last night, it didn't look great, but they look like they have some type of semblance of consistency when they're out there. Like if you're a Lightning fan, I think you're very confident that whenever this team is out there on the power play, that they're going to score. I almost feel like for Golden Knight fans, and maybe people can text in and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think if I'm the way I see things on social media, I get the feeling that fans are hesitant to see their team go on the power play because they don't have any confidence that they're going to score. And then there's always that feeling that you're going to end up with a shorthanded goal going the other way.
Okay. My stance on the power play is simply this. When it's been going as bad as it's been going for as long as it's been going, you can't lose momentum on the power play. I don't truly, honestly, I don't even care about production. I don't even care about scoring goals. Like, that would be great. That is a welcome addition. If you can get that, phenomenal. But that's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for when it comes to the man advantage is you do not lose momentum. You do not allow a team back into the game because your power play sucks the life out of your game. And that's really what the Golden Knights need, right? Like, that is what you're looking for moving forward when it comes to the power play. If it's not going to produce for you, it cannot allow opportunities for the opposition to get themselves into a game when they really didn't have it. You look back at the first 7-8 minutes of that game against Tampa, the Golden Knights moved at will through the neutral zone. Everything that they did was uncontested. They were out of their own zone quick. They were into the offensive zone. They were in complete control of that game until the power play.
Yeah, I mean, and it was a turning point in the game, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's I think, the most important thing. Like, you cannot, even if you don't score on the power play,
yeah,
you can't give up a shorthanded goal, especially to a team like the Lightning, who, while we look at them and know that they're dangerous and are, you know, potentially a team that could come out of the East and play in a Stanley Cup final, they're still fighting for a playoff spot. Like, they're still playing desperate hockey. So you knew you were going to get an effort out of those guys last night. And you know, the weird thing is that I thought the second period was really kind of dull. It was low event. There really wasn't a whole lot going on.
Nothing for 15 minutes, and then it was a strong push to the end
but
from Vegas.
The third period was fun.
Yeah,
like it was from a neutral. If I was neutral in this, that third period was fun to watch.
Okay, so have I been able to bring you to the side that they did play pretty good?
I thought they played okay because I just cannot accept mistakes leading to goals. Like I
then you're watching the wrong sport.
No, but Ryan, the thing is, this has been something that it's not like this is a one-off thing.
No, you're right.
If it's a one-off thing, I wipe my hands and say, you know what? It's a one-off thing.
Yeah.
It won't happen again. I just have not seen the consistency night in, night out. Look, they played good against Detroit. They didn't play great. They played good enough to win. They came back. They beat Seattle in a game where they were the better team for almost the entire game. But in that stretch, they weren't the better team. Mm. They gave up 3 unanswered goals. Then they go to Calgary. They laid an absolute egg in that game. And Calgary stunk, too. Mm-hmm. It's not like Calgary played this great game. And then you're thinking, all right, now what? They come home Sunday. They play a good game against a team that, while not a playoff team, a team that's certainly more than capable of putting up 5 or 6 goals if they're in the mood. The Golden Knights shut them down. Like, I just need to – I cannot grasp – why there's no consistency night in, night out. Like, and I asked Bruce, and I thought his answer was pretty good. You know, he mentioned, you know, he didn't blame injuries. He said, I'm not
blaming. It's a reason.
It's a reason. And, you know, more man games lost than any team in the league. Here we go again. Like, why did this happen again? But I think it's certainly something you look at, right? Like, Mark Stone not being in the lineup. You take Sidney Crosby off the Penguins. You take Connor McDavid off the Oilers. You take Drew Doughty off the Kings. It's a huge loss.
Mm-hmm.
But this team has enough talent that they should be able to at least play consistently without him in the lineup. And I know you're going to get a boost if he comes back. But, Ryan, we've got 14 games left. You have the Minnesota Wild on your heels.
Sure.
You have a road trip coming up.
Let's just pump the brakes for a moment, okay? I really honestly, buddy, like this is doom and gloom from your perspective. And that's fine. It's well within your right, I guess. When you look back at last night's game, how many times did the Tampa Bay Lightning overwhelm the Golden Knights and that led to a goal?
I don't think there was one case.
It never did. It never did. Because it wasn't a scenario where the Golden Knights were outplayed by Tampa in those moments. It wasn't a situation where the Golden Knights defensively were taking on water and taking on water and taking on water, as we've seen at various times throughout these stretches where they have not gotten the results. They have not gotten those wins when you've needed them. They were not overmatched by Tampa last night.
So let me...
mistakes that did them in. And I'm not saying that that's acceptable. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is when you look at the overall process of last night's game, it was a lot closer to what the Golden Knights should look like. And it will usually yield better results if they do play to that identity, if they do play to that structure.
I'm gonna ask you this question. If you were in the Tampa Bay locker room, or if you were on the Tampa Bay bench, was there a moment in that game last night where you felt you were not going to win that game?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I think so.
Vegas goes up 1-0.
I think when Ben Hutton ties the game 3-3, like you probably sit there, you get a shorthanded goal, a power play goal. You just score on the power play. The Golden Knights come right back. They deliver a phenomenal shift. It is all pressure dialed up to 11. Brett Howden gets in on the forecheck, and they cycle a puck, get to the front of the net almost at will like they've been doing all game, and then they score. I think absolutely you're looking at that and you're saying, oh, boy, they've been down our necks all game long.
I don't think
that they were confident at all. I think that they made a play and that they can trust their elite talent in the lineup to finish the job, and they did because they're competitors. But I don't think Tampa Bay leaves that game feeling particularly good about themselves. No.
Okay, I think that's fair. I mean, I asked the question, and I think that's a fair answer. Look, I liked the Hutton goal, and I'll say this. I mean, I've been doom and gloom. I gotta find something positive to say.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Howden's been awesome the last two games.
He's been a wrecking ball.
Like, he's been really, really good, like, to the point where I'm almost saying, do we leave Nick Waugh up the lineup and keep Brett Howden in the middle of Carrier and Kolesar? Because I think Kolesar and Carrier both have been good as well. Like, I mean, Kolesar, I think he had a couple of assists last night.
Yeah.
Carrier had the goal in against New Jersey. So I like what Brett Howden has brought to that fourth line, and he was right there in the mix on that Hutton goal. Like he was causing havoc, and
he made the play to start it all.
I really did. I think maybe that's what we call him now. He's Brett Havoc Howden because
okay.
I mean, he created some havoc last night.
So this entire thing leads us to our game rating. You don't have to get into like the intricacies. You don't have to play the sound, any of that. Like, we're kind of up against it. It's been a wonky show in that regard. I want to know what your game rating is.
It's a three.
That's better than I thought it would be.
Oh, it's a three.
You.
It's a three.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
don't think Tampa played particularly great.
I know that a lot of people are probably sitting here listening to me spout off about process and all that. No one wants to hear it, and I get it, and that's fine. I guess my point is, I was encouraged by the fact that the Vegas Golden Knights put together two relatively similar games, New Jersey and Tampa. If you look at the advanced stats, if you look at how the Golden Knights defended the middle of the ice, if you look at all of those things, notwithstanding the mistakes, notwithstanding needing a couple of saves, If you look at those two games back-to-back together, there's some continuity in the Golden Knights. And it has been a long time since we have talked about this team having continuity in how they play to their structure, how they play to their identity. I'm not saying it's rose-colored glasses, not at all. I'm not sitting here saying that the process is okay and everything's going to work out. That's not what I'm saying. Results matter, especially when you've only got 14 games and you're only up 3 points on the team chasing you down for that second wild card spot. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying here is that if the Golden Knights are able to get closer and closer to the game they played last night, and they can cut down on those mistakes that end up in the back of their net, and they can get a couple of saves here and there in key moments of a game, and their players can go out there and make an elite play to kind of steal momentum in a crucial, crucial point, then they're going to be just fine. So to me, it's a 3-2. It's a tequila. It's right in the middle. It is a pretty good game with the wrong result. But what I want to see is this game turn into a 5. What I want to see is this game turn into a repeatable type of performance that the Golden Knights can put out there so that you can see the continuity start to grow and you could see them start to build upon what they need to do in order to win. Because without it, it doesn't matter if they're getting results down the stretch. If you can't have the process match up with the results when you get to the playoffs, it isn't going to matter that you got in. That's all I'm trying to say. You have to have both. It can't be one or the other. You can't have results without process. You can't have process without results. But you absolutely do need the process when it comes to the playoffs. And if the Golden Knights dial that in, I think they're going to be fine.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Look, they need to turn it around. Mm-hmm. And this is a team tomorrow night who they just beat last week, but they kind of ripped the Kraken's hearts out. So remember Mortal Kombat? You would play with that guy and he'd rip the heart out of your opponent. Like, that's what the Golden Knights did to the Kraken last week. Like, Seattle was, they probably felt that they were going to win that game. Mm-hmm. They weren't even going to overtime. They were winning it in regulation. And William Karlsson scores that goal a minute later, and then Jonathan Marchessault ties it. Jack Eichel with the winner. This is a team that's going to come in looking to do the same exact thing to Vegas that Vegas did to them last week. You can't fall into that trap. You got to go out there and you got to kick their butts. Like, just I mean, and I know that it has, that's easier said than done. And it's certainly easy for me sitting in this chair on Flamingo Road to make that comment. But they've got to go out there and they've got to play a great game tomorrow. And have confidence for that Columbus game because, man, I just want to see a 60-minute game where the Golden Knights dominate someone from start to finish.
Okay. Well, one thing the Golden Knights are going to do tomorrow is they're going to wear their Winter Classic jerseys for the final time in a rematch with the Seattle Kraken. Fans who want to dress the part can get 2 special offers on Winter Classic gear at the Arsenal at City National Arena. You can get $50 cresting, that's name and a number, with the purchase of a Winter Classic jersey. And there's buy one, get one, 50% off Winter Classic merchandise. That's tomorrow at the Arsenal to gear up for the final appearance of the Vegas Golden Knights in the Winter Classic sweaters. Oh, by the way, if you want to go to that game, be caller number 12. Caller number 12, you're a winner. 702-876-1340. You're going to see the Golden Knights take on the Seattle Kraken. We're back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Karlsson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
One-timers brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. News and notes from around the National Hockey League. Special shout-out to Jeremy on the text line. It's a good one. Ryan, that's me. You're such an apologist. Chapman's actually a realist. He is. I'll give him that 100%. I don't think I'm being an apologist for pointing out the areas where the Golden Knights played well last night. I don't think I'm being an apologist when I say, were there moments where Tampa just overwhelmed the Vegas Golden Knights, where Vegas was taking on water in the defensive zone, where Tampa had marathon shifts, where they were recycling pucks and it was a barrage? No, it wasn't that at all. It was breakdowns, it was mistakes that ended up in the back of the net, and you got to cut down on those. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but to take away all the other things that the Golden Knights did do well, and really a lot of the things that we've been asking for, wanting to see them do. I don't know that I'm being an apologist, but hey, it is what it is. Thanks for texting in, Jeremy, and please continue to text in more and more. Okay, that out of the way, Matt Rempe vows to clean up his hits after serving a four-game suspension. Rempe was suspended for four games for an illegal check to the head of New Jersey's Jonas Siegenthaler. He says he needs to have more control of his body, that he needs to understand when players are kind of pulling away from certain types of hits and protect himself so as not to throw an elbow to the head of a defenseless opponent. More or less, Rempe said that was a mistake. He made a mistake, obviously paid a four-game suspension for it. Do you believe, Chris Chapman, that he's capable of reeling things in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if he's committed to it, he certainly will be a better player in that regard. I think the problem, though, is that's his game. Like, that's why he's in the league. Like, yeah. I don't know if there's enough skill for him to stick around in the league, not being a guy who goes out there and is in the demolition derby. I mean, I don't want to see any player get hurt. I don't care who they play for. I don't want to, especially on a dirty hit. Nobody wants to see that. It's garbage. So if Rempe can clean that up and get that out of his game and still be an NHL player, then I'll applaud him. I mean, I think that's kind of what we all want from every player. We want to see guys not go out there and I'll use the term goon it up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to see Jonas Siegenthaler get injured with a headshot.
Yep.
I mean, concussions are a real thing, despite what some people might tell you otherwise.
Ooh.
It's a serious, serious thing. I mean, CTE is not a joke. So, yeah, if he can clean it up and get that out of his game and become a better player, then we should support him. We all should want to see that.
Kudos to you for the shot thrown on CTE and concussions. I'm with you 100%. Maybe we'll dig into that a little bit more. I was waiting for some more quotes to come out from Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly. But speaking of Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, it looks like the Arizona Coyotes are likely to stay in Arizona for the 2024-25 season. He said that the league probably wouldn't have enough time to relocate Arizona before the 2024-25 campaign if the Coyotes don't win June's land auction. And in case you were wondering, the Arizona Coyotes are still in the process of trying to secure land to build a new arena to keep the team in Arizona. There's a land auction that's going to happen in June. They are in for it. If they lose it, then I don't know what happens with Arizona beyond that. If they win it, then they're probably staying in Arizona. They've got their land. Everything's going to be as it should be, and the Arizona Coyotes can stay. Now, Bill Daly did go on to say that he expects the auction itself will provide the clarity you're looking for in this scenario. So, double question here. Are the Arizona Coyotes going to stay in Arizona? And do you believe they'll win this land auction?
I don't believe they'll win the land auction, and I don't believe they'll stay in Arizona. But
wow.
You know, it's funny because I'm gonna let people know how old I am here. Okay. I graduated high school in 1997.
Okay.
I moved to Phoenix that summer, 1997. 27 years, the Arizona Coyotes have played in three different locations in the Phoenix area. They played downtown, which was sight lines were not good. It's a basketball arena. Then they moved out to Glendale. Now they're at Mullet. Uh-huh. If they win this land auction, I believe it's near Scottsdale that they're going to play.
North of Phoenix. Yeah.
So they will have played in four arenas within the city in about 30 years. But there's a couple things here that Daly said, because he mentioned relocation, mm-hmm. which I think is something that, while there's other things around it, the fact that relocation was mentioned as a possibility, I think that makes my ears perk up a little bit. But The other thing is, fans of Chicago, Detroit, Vegas, L.A., they're thrilled because they get extra home games again next year at the Mullet Arena. Mm-hmm.
So, are you of the mind that if this doesn't work, it's done? Like,
it has to be.
It has to be done. Like, the NHL has to step in and just put Arizona somewhere stable.
It has to. If they don't win this land deal, it has to be done. You have to be done with this ownership group and the city of Phoenix. Like, you cannot continue, because at some point, even if it's by luck, the Arizona Coyotes are going to make the playoffs. And while that first round might be cool, if they advance and you get into a scenario where we're down to the final eight teams and potentially the final four, and I mean, imagine if by some insane alternate universe.
I've imagined it, Chapman. I've thought about it. I've dreamed about it. Oh, I've dreamed about it. I want that so bad. Because this is what the NHL wants, right? Like, Gary Bettman is beholden to the idea of the Arizona Coyotes being in Arizona. He wants to be in that market. It has been a process that should have truly been done and over with 3, 4, 5 years ago.
When I lived in Phoenix in the late 90s, they were in talks to buy an area, and people who are familiar with that area will know what I'm talking about. An area near Scottsdale and Tempe, there was a shopping mall there called Los Arcos. Mm-hmm. Absolutely phenomenal location. They would have gotten out of downtown Phoenix. They would have gone to a part of Phoenix where a good chunk of their season ticket base lived. Fell through. Never happened. And they've been trying to secure an arena for years. They played out by the football stadium in Glendale.
Yep.
Awful location. Because Phoenix is a huge, huge city. If you live in Chandler, Gilbert, Mesa, Ahwatukee, you're not driving to Glendale to go to a game. It's an hour and a half with traffic. You're not going there. It takes way too long. I-17 is a parking lot. People don't want to go there. Now you're in Tempe, which is a great location. The problem is you're playing in a 5,000-seat arena.
I just think it would be really funny if the NHL and all their efforts to keep the Coyotes in Arizona would have to stomach a Stanley Cup final at Mullet Arena. I'd love it.
I want to see it. You're not moving their games. You're not going to have them play in Vegas.
Oh, no, you would.
Oh, that would be... It would be.
They would.
It would be a travesty to do
that. It would be ridiculous. Because, again, if you're beholden to the market, be beholden to the market. If it's good enough for the regular season... If it's good enough for 82 games in the regular season, why isn't it good enough for 3 or 4 games in the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah.
And if that opens your eyes to it's not, then it's not good enough for 41 games out of 82.
No. And that's the point. If you're okay with them playing there in the regular season, you got to be okay with what comes after that if they happen to make the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. Those are your one-timers for today, Wednesday, March 20th. Catching Up with Chapman is next.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, Ryan, well, maybe we could do a little bit of a deeper dive into this, and I know you and Ash had the conversation about players that you would like to see followed around.
Yep.
I hope I don't come across as a homer when I say this. Jack Hughes is up near the top of my list. Like, he's hysterical. Like, when you watch some of his interviews, the walk-off interviews, he's funny.
Yep.
The comment, people pay to come watch me play. Love that. Like, there's some personality.
Ryan, that hasn't backfired on him at all.
No, well, a lot has backfired on the Devils this year. Ryan Reeves, probably another guy that I would like to see. You know, this one might come as a surprise to you, though. I don't know if he'd be open to it because I know he's not, like, great. At least he wasn't. Maybe things have changed. But Brent Burns, to me, would be a really interesting guy to follow around, like, because he's got that farm or all that land in Texas.
Yeah.
With all the exotic animals on it. Like, he just reminds me of a guy who should have, like, an outdoor show
yeah.
when he's done playing hockey. Like, I actually had a conversation with him about it. He thought it was great. He laughed. He's like, you know, that's not a bad idea. Like a Crocodile Hunter type show, like Brett Burns goes into the wild and he's running around the woods stalking animals and trying to get up close to them. He mentioned some animal that the Sharks gave him, and I can't remember what it was, but it was some kind of like exotic antelope when he played his 1,000th game in the NHL. Just a fascinating, fascinating guy, Brett Burns.
Yeah, I think we're going to dive a little bit deeper on Friday on which players we'd like to see. Tomorrow's show starts at 5. It's a 5 o'clock edition of the VGK Insider Show. We'll see you then.